damn fine cup of coffee.
Nose Hair Lip Gland with Karen Carpenter and Dr. Fiasco. Wednesdays from 10 p.m. to midnight on Radio
Radio. I mean, because sex is everywhere. There are huge billboards.
Black.
on black. Welcome. You are listening to Black on Black on Black, and you are here with DJ Queen. Hello, everyone. Long time no see. I feel like it's been a minute since I've been able to make it into the studio because of holidays, traveling, family things. Things happen, you know? It's just me here. It's just DJ Queen. D-Fantastic will be back next week. Has been traveling, getting good rest in. And so both of us will be back in the studio starting next week. It's going to be an exciting time. For those who might be newer to the show, it's your first time, you just happen to flip on, whatever, however you got here. This is Black on Black on Black. It's hosted by a Bay Area native, which is me, and a transfer from the dirty Sizzity South, DJ D Fantastic, as we explore the real San Francisco and larger Bay Area. We're into finding scenes, creating memes, and being obscene. So you can listen to this show to find out what's going on in the city, where to find it, and learn about the local artists who make it all happen. The normal structure for our show is that usually we would orient around a certain theme. We try to have a guest who is usually very much directly connected to that theme. So we've explored like folk music. We've explored salsa. I think I'm actually going to do another salsa show. I was going to do it today, but I want to make sure I bring in an artist and friend who actually plays salsa music and is very, very familiar with the history. And so I'm very into salsa dance, but, you know, it's always nice to have someone who's even more rooted in it than I am to kind of bounce back in a discussion with. And so for today, actually, since it's the first, honestly, it's the first time we've had the show in the new year, what I was going to do instead is I was going to pick different segments of songs from previous playlists that I really like, and just talk about sort of the process of
through apocalypse.
What?
Yeah, no, flooding. I'm so upset about
flooding
it.
Flooding where?
In the venue.
What?
Yeah, that was another reason why I was late, because my agent called and was like, your show is officially off on Saturday. And I was like, fuck my life.
Damn.
Flooding. Yeah, not even related to the fires.
That's insane.
So I want to know, which plague do you think is next? Pop
you know,
quiz.
I'm... Yes. No. I'm just thinking straight bubonic, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Didn't
we do that already?
No. And not like sweeping fucking bubonic, we're killing all the rats sort of shit, you know? Nosferatu style.
Oh, I was like, you want zombie?
I don't want that. I would like to not do that.
I'd like to not do any of it.
Regardless, Allison, we're fucking thrilled to have you. When I grow up, I want to be you. One thing we like to do to start off the show is we want to talk about the events happening in the community. First is the Ignite the Left on January 16th, which is this Thursday at 6 p.m. It's totally fucking free. It's at Rickshaw Stop, which is at 155 Fell Street. There'll be bands, DJs, art, and food, and I'm guessing it's like a progressive event. You know, all I saw was a poster. I do my best. Okay,
and you do the work.
Yeah,
you do the work.
The second
event is La Gente at Piano Bar. That will be at Half Moon Bay this Sunday, January 19th. It's an event hosted by Artist Migration and includes wine and tapas. The place that is, I've been a couple of times to the location. It's really, really cool. It's kind of like a warehouse.
Half Moon Bay?
Yeah. It's like a warehouse. It's also a nonprofit, and so they have artists in residence there. And now they're doing events. I'm not sure how permitted it is, but for the cost of a fare, you get wine and tapas, and usually
for free?
Some. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Look, if I was underage.
the way I would buy tickets to this and go in there.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's a really, really cool event. La Gente will be the band that's performing. There is salsa, cumbia, reggaeton, kind of little this world music of that band. One of my favorite bands.
I wonder why.
Huh. Anyway, so the next event... Well, I will toss it to you, D.
Yeah, the next event is Banda Sin Nombre. Cha-cha-cha. Is playing the main room at Music City SF on Friday, January 24th. Doors open at 7 p.m. for just $29. You get access to multiple stages with a diverse group of amazing performers. Crafty cocktails, local brews, and food is all there. So you ain't got to worry about, like, trying to eat food before there. Just show up, eat, drink, be merry. Fuck if you want to, you know?
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
So San Francisco. Well, so Bay Area.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I imagine that every place, every building in San Francisco has been banged in.
I don't know about that.
I hope so.
I'm about to say.
I'm just going to chime in to say I hope so.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, especially the churches.
I was going to say, I'm sure there's a church where that is not.
No, yeah, definitely. Mm. Yeah, it's definitely. True. Definitely.
If there's a building that hasn't been fucked in, there is a really solid way to solve that.
Yes. Yes.
I'm already moist.
Yes.
Let's make a list.
Yes. Yes. If you know any buildings that have not been copulated in, please let us know. We will amend that. You know,
imminently.
Yes.
Yeah, go on Radio Valencia. There is a little box where you can chat with us and go ahead and list those out.
I'm not saying I'll do it, but you know.
Oh no, no.
Some people might.
I'm escaping from LA, so I'm happy to go fuck in all the rooms that haven't been.
Hey, yo,
I've got free time.
Yes.
Oh, you're about to get the name of some dirty bathrooms. Dirty bathroom.
I don't think there can be a dirtier bathroom than the DNA Lounge, especially if you're wiping shit off of you that you fell in, which I will not forget that story from Love Isn't Blind. So, black happenings. We also like to talk about things that are happening in the black community. Okay, so for those who didn't know, the Mufasa movie is out, I believe, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, there was some weird fucking controversy about Blue Ivy's dress. Have y'all seen this dress?
Yeah, it's a dress.
Yeah. So Blue Ivy is like, it's like a tween, 12, 13, yeah, whatever, right? Like around the cusp there. And yeah, pull it up. And so it's like a golden shimmering dress. I think it's gold. It might be silver. It's kind of hard to tell in the lighting. Anyways, very cute in my opinion. Very nice. Very much so red carpet of a huge fucking movie, with all-star cast, right? Anyways, niggas be hating. As always.
What is the problem?
So the problem is people were like, oh, it's too grown. I'm like, it's a girl wearing a dress with her shoulders out? It's a girl.
Yeah, this is fine.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
I'm looking at it. It's fine.
It's very much so fine. But it just reminds me of, like, you know how growing up the onus of, like, men's gaze is on you the minute you just kind of come out of the womb?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is definitely a them situation, because if she didn't have titties, this dress would be more than fine.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
She's wearing a strapless dress. That's what I wore to prom. I just had and continue to have no titties.
She's lying.
I mean, post-pandemic, I have a little bit of titty now.
There you go. I'm proud of you.
That's the gift the pandemic gave me. Anyway, so, but no, this is fine. It's a strapless dress. She just has titties. So it's like, if you are thinking it's too grown, that is on you.
Absolutely. Like, it's just a natural way that her body is. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, what else is she going to wear? She's supposed to wear like a nunning cloak. Yeah, a bag. Mm-hmm. A straight up just big, like, flowing bag. But it's a huge issue, I think, for women, girls, forever. But the outrage in the black community is especially irritating because, you know, I remember growing up and hearing, like, oh, you know, that girl's too fast. And I'm like, her body has just developed and she's wearing the exact same clothes another girl her own age is wearing. Mm-hmm. Which are already, girls' clothes are fucking weird. Mm-hmm. Like, so I have a daughter. Everyone knows this. And, like, I always find some of the outfits to be fucking weird. And she's a baby. And I'm like, why am I putting you, like, in tube tops right now? Like, what is this? Like,
okay, hear me out, though. All babies' clothes in adult sizes would be awesome. I would buy them all.
100%.
I have friends who are doing that.
Nice.
Absolutely. Shout out to Jane. Because the same outfits that I see Jane put on her baby are same outfits that Jane has shared a backpack.
and other clothes with her child. Wait, and they look great.
How is she doing this? I want to know. Because that's funny.
Yeah.
I would do that.
It looks great. Yeah. It looks great. Every time, like, stockings, little, right now it's accessories. But let me tell you, as they both get older, they're gonna be sharing more and more.
I love it.
It's great.
Damn. All right, well, I want to get on that train. But regardless, it's really weird. Like, it's just the weird concept of, like, the minute that you emerge in the world with the fucking vulva, you're like, oh, you got to protect men from being horny. And it's like, if you're horny at a child, there's nothing that you could have, that a child can do to prevent that.
And there is also a thing that black women's bodies get sexualized at a younger age.
Absolutely.
And so that, I think, if we were to maybe extend, and you could or could not extend empathy to what is happening in the black community, it's just their hyper awareness of that, and their hyper fixation on that causes them to make negative comments about it.
Right.
Because they're aware of this hyper fixation on black bodies. But the patriarchy of it is that they're making it the woman's problem.
Right.
The child's problem, and not highlighting the societal issue of it.
Yeah.
We're all being objectified in this way, and it's not okay.
Yeah. Addressing the men, you know, and I know we have more to talk about later, but these sort of things just really piss me off. They always pissed me off as a kid, and then as I got older, I've gotten pissed off more, and then now that I have a daughter, and, like, you know, everyone's always worried about that stage in your teenage daughter's life, like, oh my god, she's gonna want to wear this, like, mini skirt, and then what do? And it's like, honestly, when it comes to my time for my kid and that happening, it's gonna be less about, like, don't wear that. It's gonna be like, I'm gonna be cool with you wearing this when you have completed, like, a self-defense course.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then I want you to do this course, we can do it together. Might need to be brushing up. Like, yes, I have a black belt, but I mean, I haven't practiced in four fucking ever, you know. It's
like
to just
smooth humble brag.
Had to slip that in.
Like, yeah.
But, like, yeah, so it's like, it's less about, like, you know, it's less about you doing something to, you know, incite whatever rage or buck the system for wearing a short skirt. It's more like, okay, because men are fucking weird and creepy, they're going to take that as an invitation. I want you to be ready. Mm-hmm. I want you to be ready to engage in that, you know. But anyway, so
I hate that you have to think about that.
I
hate that I was like, oh, that's a good plan. She's going to be a good mom. And then I was like, oh, that blows.
Yeah. it fucking sucks, right?
Yeah, you like, shouldn't have to think like that at all. But in positive news, you know, women are now allowed to be called objects on Facebook.
So I love that.
I love that. That's really good.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, personally, I want to be known as just, like, you know, as just a carpet. Like a ran over carpet.
Yeah, what kind of object would we all like to be?
I would like to be a carpet.
Pink hour. Let's do it.
Yeah. Like, you know, like when carpet's all new and fresh, like it's like, oh, everyone's put their feet in. I want to be old carpet. I don't want anyone to touch me. Like, I want people to be like, oh, like,
let's get rid of.
Yeah, it's like smelly and weird.
We got a workshop.
I want to be that carpet because you know what? I was loved. I was loved that whole time. People wanted to be around me and on me. But now, I need my own space.
You could have chosen the new carpet, and you chose the old carpet.
No.
That's a choice.
No, I don't want attention anymore.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, I want... Yeah. That's my favorite. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you have for that?
Ooh, what object would I be? I feel like I want to be like a magic 8-ball, you know?
Yeah.
Let's tune in. Have some fun.
Yes.
Or glasses, you know? So I can just be seen.
Yeah.
And help people.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm going to keep thinking about it.
Yes.
But I think that this is... I'm done.
Yeah.
I know I don't want to be a towel.
A towel?
I don't want to be a towel.
Don't act surprised when you said dirty carpet.
I mean, I
know. Because that's a wild reaction to just cop out of your face.
Towel, I mean, good thing. Like, if you're a towel, at least, you know... If you get rubbed on someone hot, that's kind of great.
Yeah, but if you're a towel, you're also the first thing to get grabbed when there's throw up.
What?
True. Yeah.
I don't normally grab towels in the throw up.
And if there's a towel within reach, they're going to grab the towel. That's you, and I'm telling you that
people
are going
to
grab
on a towel.
And you can wash the towel.
Yeah.
What do you clean your daughter's throw up with?
My paper towels.
You didn't have like a...
A washcloth?
A rag?
Oh, we had burp cloths, but it's not a towel.
It's kind of a baby towel.
It's like... it's within the towel family.
Yeah. Is it a towel family?
Yes, within the towel family.
Oh, okay. I can accept that.
I think you can also say that maybe I would be a vacuum. I suck really well.
Ooh, that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll leave it there.
Yeah, I like that. Another awesome thing for Black happening. Denzel Washington got a Medal of Freedom from Joe Biden.
I saw that.
It was fun. It was awesome.
Wasn't there someone who got a Medal of Freedom that everyone was like, nah?
Maybe
someone from Ireland, isn't it?
Really? Is it don't point at me.
Well,
oh, well, yeah, but I mean, I'm,
well,
I,
well,
I mean, I don't know. I we could look that up later, but LA fires is a big thing that is happening right now. So we were blessed with Allie today because she is finding a way to be away from all the terribleness that's happening in LA because she lives there. Really fucked up thing is that State Farm has dropped like 1,600 people in the Pacific Palisades in July of last year. Almost like, like the fires are going to be bad and we're dropping them. So people are fucking freaking out about that. And this wasn't just in that area, it's in areas all around them, and I mean, it's very much so, you know, reminiscent of the Allstate and Farmers Insurance dropping California policies, leaving homeowners, and all of that in the in California recently. So it's pretty fucked up. It feels very much so a problem that could be solved by Luigi Mangione, but he's in jail right now.
Someone throw out the Batman signal.
Yeah, like we need another Luigi Mangione.
We need some copycats out there.
Did you guys know he's from my hometown?
Really?
Yeah, the
local hero.
The school where he was the valedictorian is the fancy private school next to my public school.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You know what? I love that. I knew.
Local kid makes good.
Yeah. Okay, so I wanted to just bring up, because we have such an awesome guest today, I was like, you know what?
Wait, but on the State Farm thing, people really do need to go get renter's insurance. Like, get renter's insurance. Yeah. It's saving people. Also, my house melted last year, which is a thing I don't think either of you know, but my whole building in Santa Monica collapsed.
Whoa,
last year, December.
What?
However, it was December 20th, and if you're going to have your house collapse, I highly recommend it being around Christmas time and being Jewish, because, like, I had nothing going on. It was a good time to handle it. But, like, truly, the Christian people, the Christians, they had all left for the holidays. So they came back and couldn't get 100% of their stuff. So, anyway, renter's insurance was huge. Also, fuck lemonade, because I had lemonade, and they refused to pay it out.
No.
You have to switch immediately.
God.
Basically, I had to raise absolute hell to get paid out. Okay. So switch from lemonade. That's
where are you at now?
I bundle with Progressive.
Okay. All right.
You should pay me for that.
That's good to know.
I mean, I also have heard a lot of the insurance companies are slowly starting to write out those things as something that they'll cover, which is them acknowledging that climate crisis is real. So there's a silver lining. But I saw a reel of someone who works in insurance talking about you're going to need to really start, if they update the insurance policy, you really need to start looking at the fine print, because they're starting to take out those types of things as being covered, especially within,
crazy.
Yeah, especially within
like,
specific
that's why
areas.
We have it.
Right.
Yeah.
We need a rich person with like a good heart to start like their own insurance company where people just pay in and then like they get stuff back. That's all we want.
You looking for Santa?
I'm just
you looking for Santa?
But if you're fucking really rich, I don't even think we should have to pay in.
I mean, that's true. But I'm like, you know, if I won the lottery, I would start my own insurance company. Where like I would just, you know, I would just pay.
You trying to start socialism?
Yes.
They're gonna come and snuff you out. With the quickness. You are a black woman.
And speaking of, next week is MLK Day, so we will not be working.
No,
we will not.
This is an announcement. The news will not be here.
We will not be here on MLK Day. I refuse to work on MLK Day. I did not. He did not die for me to work on that day. So, yeah, sorry. But before we get into our first music segment, I always do Would You Rather, which is great. Okay, so Would You Rather tomorrow adopt 8 children. Yes. And you have to keep them until, you know, they're 18 and off on their own. Okay.
Or I'm gonna choose the other no matter what it is.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm gonna have questions, but like go ahead, because it's gonna be bad.
Okay, yeah. Have 15 live births. You don't have to keep them.
But I don't have to keep them.
No.
I'll do the 15 live births.
You're gonna be pregnant for 15 years.
Oh my god!
there. Wait. If there's twins, does that not count as two?
Ooh, loopholes.
Sure, but
okay. And so, it essentially, I could maybe do in vitro, so I can pop out three every time and shorten that to 5 years.
You could, okay. But that's like crazy dangerous.
I could be pregnant for 15 years or broke till I die.
That's true.
And have to take care of 8 children.
How old are the 8 children when that's I adopt you. Them? Oh, so I can adopt them at 17.
You could.
I like Brittany really coming through with the loopholes. I was just like, no, I don't want any kids. No. She was like, let's think about it.
Because life first is wild. Yeah. I mean, oh, no C-section?
No, C-section's fine.
C-section's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what?
The live birth.
The live birth is not.
I'm now remembering that you were in labor for 3 days. Yeah, bro. I need to really think about my answer some more.
And even if you give the children away, they will statistically some of them are going to come find you.
Yes.
Yeah, but if they come find me when they're grown, that's the dream. Yeah. So I get to like have offspring and like see the genetic experiment, but I didn't have to do anything
unless they come back with a ton of trauma. Then
yeah.
You're just in it.
Yeah.
Then you're just
And then you feel bad.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit.
Okay, so 15.
Because adoption could be crazy. Sad. They could end up being like a really good family or bad things that happen to them.
But that, you know, I did the work. I got the baby here, you know?
Yeah, but
I made
17 year olds in your house.
All at the same time?
Yeah, it's like tomorrow. You're adopting 8 children.
I don't have finances for that.
That's the thing.
But I could essentially place them with. I have enough family for that though. Like I could place each one. No, with
they're with you.
Members.
They are your children.
I know.
You're
I can go. I can.
All right.
You cannot divvy them up.
I think they could take care of themselves.
Yeah, that's true. But where are they sleeping?
With you in your house.
Yeah, but.
Maybe on the couch? Maybe get some sleeping bags.
I don't want to give up my body for live births. I don't know what you
Yeah,
got.
No, this would you rather suck.
Well, they always do. I was like, wait on it.
Both are bad.
Wait on it. I think I would take the live births. I think I would take the adoption.
Okay.
Just because.
How old are you going to adopt your kids? 17?
I would prefer to get them within the 14 to 18.
Okay.
I'm 4 years.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I prefer to get them in there. And I want to be able to choose and screen and like have some time to spend with them before I decide to let this stranger in my house.
Yeah, you could say that Dee Fantastic just got subtly bullied out of her would you rather. You were like this or that, and we were like, but.
No, this happens every time. This is the point.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the point.
Oh, I have questions. Clarification is important.
Of course.
I think with a live birth, there's just such a high risk to your life.
Of course, yeah.
And
your body goes crazy.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. And it's not like I 15 live births and I just skip all the 9 months of carrying a child.
No, yeah.
I got to go
nine
through all that,
of that.
Okay, but eventually, do you think it kind of falls out?
Like a rock.
There it is.
Yeah.
You would think so, but like women have had like 20 children.
Yeah, and did the 19 and 20 fall out? You know?
It's the real question.
So, on some real shit, the more vaginal births you have, the faster it comes out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. My sister-in-law almost gave birth in a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. I remember watching a live birth video like in high school about like some woman who was on her 7th kid, and I mean she just got to the hospital and just pow and it just came right out.
That's the thing.
Didn't break a sweat.
No.
Good for her.
I mean she screamed for a little bit, of course.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I would have the live births and I would have 15 fabulous gay couples lined up to take the babies.
Well,
that's
there you go.
Beautiful.
Aww.
You're welcome. I'm a better person than you.
You absolutely are, because I'm not doing it.
All right, y'all, let's get into some music. We're going to play Love Revolution by Lenny Kravitz. You know, I was thinking, why not a black Jewish man for our first song?
Thank you so much.
Of course.
We'll be right back.
Oh, wait. I feel like I hear that now. But it's hard to say. She on the end on my cerebellum. And if I say I love her, am I wrong? Am I crazy? You guys hear me? Can you hear me? Yeah. I'm never wrong. Swear that I've been gifted in a song. And I'm feeling it's intoxicated. It way on you heavy like the alcohol. We can do like anything you would. I'm a million letters in the lady. I just want to pleasure check my catalog. Life, I come across fans and hoes, and I like to give my fans a rose. Curse of the talented, everywhere I go, they wanna change clothes and pose. But my wife be in my dreams, bruh, no, I couldn't see ya. I saw a silhouette, I know I can make a win. But when I wake up alone, alone, I just break out my phone. I'm thinking I can make this many songs, unlit when I have a pen.
Reckless, I'd get too jealous. Could you be from the east or overseas? I learned my lesson, I'm way too western. Could you be my favorite ethnicity? I'm just undressing all of these sections of my thoughts. Think it too hard. But I really wanna live. I can make this many songs. I'm a lady, yeah. I had a pen, but she on me head. I'm a cerebellum. If I say I love her, am I wrong? Am I crazy? Am I on the sense? But I know the feeling, and I'm never wrong. Swear that I've been keeping it a song. And I'm feeling it's intoxicated. It weigh on your head like the alcohol. We can do like anything you want. I'm a million letters in my lady. I just want to pleasure. Check my catalog.
Impossible to fail. when someone else instead of me always seems to know the way. Then I look at you and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. When the day that lies ahead of me seemed impossible to fail, and when someone else instead of me always seems to know the way, then I look at you and the world's all right with me. Look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
You're back listening to Black on Black on Black with D Fantastic and
DJ Queen. Shoo-wee.
Bitch ass
nigga. Fuck you.
And we have
and this little white lady. Honestly, I'm honored to be here. Because you were like, come to our show, Black on Black on Black on Black on Black. And I was like, uh-huh. You do know what you're looking at, right? You guys were like, you're fine. And I was like, that's the best compliment I've ever heard.
Absolutely. I think your exact words were, am I allowed? You're like, of course you are.
Are you kidding me?
I feel both honored and I understand that I have to live up to this gift that I've been given.
You already have. You are black today.
That's right.
Yeah.
How fucked up would it be if I was like, I did that for you?
Solidarity ally.
So in this segment, we just kind of want to just talk about fucking Allie and just like her life, what's going on and all of that. So here's something that I think is really funny. I think that like people who like to make people laugh have always kind of liked making people laugh. And I just wanted to ask, was there like a defining moment for you at all when you were growing up that you were like, oh my God, I want to make people laugh. Like, I want to be on stage. Like, this is my shit.
So when I was 8 years old, I did a local community theater production of Peter Pan.
Yes.
And I was a lost boy. And my mom says that I sat in the bathtub that morning and said, I just feel like today is going to change my life. And I'm so upset that she doesn't have that footage of it yet. Me in the bath being like, I feel like this is going to change my life. And I was like, what'd you say? And my mom was like, okay.
Get out the bath.
But for me, I didn't quite realize the trend, which is that I loved theater and musicals. I was a big theater kid. I know, surprise, surprise. But I was always cast as the comedic, like, sidekick, which is another thing in terms of, like, in terms of misogyny. Like, there's only so many roles for women. I mean, it's changed a lot now, but growing, like, if you look at any classic musical, there's like the ingenue, the old maid, and the slutty sidekick.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I was the slutty sidekick 100% of the time.
Perfect.
So, like,
starting
Oklahoma,
at eight.
Yeah. To be honest, like, not no. I mean, when I played, well, I played a boy, so I wasn't a slutty sidekick yet.
Yes.
But yeah, pretty quickly. You know, like, there's 80 Annie in Oklahoma who sings the song I Can't Say No, like, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And it's like, yes, you can, girl. You can. Yeah. But I didn't notice that at the time. But yeah, so I was always playing, like, the comedic sidekick or whatever. And I always loved that. And of course, later there's the awakening of realizing there's not that many parts for women and that that's fucked up.
Yeah.
But at the time, I really enjoyed that I was always, like, the comedic one. And then I started creating my own work in my 20s. Which was so long ago. And it still happened. And so it just always was comedy. Like, everything I made was always comedic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't, like, think about it that way. And then it just kind of was.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I
told. But bathtub, 8 years old. Yep.
I'm curious, have you ever been interested in doing anything outside of comedy that's not comedy?
Well, when I first graduated from college, I was auditioning and stuff like that. And my first job out of college was I did a dinner theater show down at Disney World in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, wow.
and it was racist. This was next level. Okay,
so like, it's a small world racist, or like,
yeah,
you know,
like that.
The Sounds of the South racist.
It's worse. Are you guys ready?
Yes, please.
They've since slightly updated it, but I was there. So there is like a wilderness resort at Disney World, and so there was a dinner theater show. It still exists, called the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. And you would sing songs. We sang like Americana songs. So we would sing like Davy Crockett, which, when you actually look at the lyrics, are really bad.
Yes.
And like all of those, I mean, one after another, all the Americana songs were like super, super racist. And it was like very bizarre. And there's like, I remember there people would come in the audience wearing like American flag outfits. Which shouldn't mean racism, but like does, you know?
Isn't that sad?
It's adjacent.
It's in.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, I mean, they weren't wearing Confederate flags, but like it felt.
It's a step forward.
Yeah.
Step forward. Yeah.
So that was what I did at 5, 7, and 9 p.m. for 6 months. And that was my job when I was 22. So anyway, the long-winded way of answering your question, which is I was doing like musicals and theater and new plays and stuff. And then I was disillusioned with the roles available to women, because I was like,
okay,
I can only ever play the quirky, slutty sidekick. That's the only thing I'm ever cast as. Whereas what I fell in love with as a kid was the idea of playing so many different people and being able to be anyone.
Yeah.
Right? Like being this chameleon. Yeah. And so that's when I started doing more and more sketch comedy, because you can play like as many characters as you want at night. And there's, I mean, I still think the most thrilling thing is walking off stage, putting on a blazer, and coming out as somebody new, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we would do that, where you just like, you put on a new like piece and you're just like a new person over and over again. But yeah, and then I started just doing, I mean, truthfully, I started getting press as a comedian, and I was like, I guess we'll lean into this. You know? Like, this is
follow
working,
the good,
you know?
Follow the
so,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No. And like, you know, as far as for your career, do you feel like you just had to move to LA for that? You know, like, because you're in San Francisco for ever.
No. I was only here for like 2 years.
Really?
I think maybe less. Mm-hmm. Well, so I was in New York forever. I was in New York for a decade.
Yeah.
Now you can really do the timeline on how long ago are my 20s are. But I was in New York for a decade and had a collaborator. I had a creative partner, and we created so many different projects together, and it was great. But in New York, you can be selling out all your shows. Do the math on that rental and paying your team. You're making no money, right?
Yeah. So you're still, like, you're negative. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was broke, and my collaborator had a trust fund, and we are, which I've never really said in any sort of public forum, because actually we're really good friends now and she's wonderful, but we just like didn't need or want it the same way.
Yeah.
And so then there was a startup in San Francisco that wanted someone to come make funny videos about tech, and I was like, cool, there's this startup that will pay me to start over, basically. Because I felt very, like, paralyzed by the idea of leaving New York. Now I'm like, fuck New York. Why does anyone live there? Like, I have Stockholm syndrome. This is crazy. Get out. I joke that I'm a neurotic Jew. Like, I'll order a burrito and be like, was it the right burrito? I don't know. I moved to California. I was like, we're good. Like, I've never second-guessed anything less. San Francisco and LA, they're both fabulous. Yeah. Like, which one do you like more? San Francisco. I'm like, all of California. I love California. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I have a California earring now because my friends make fun of me for how obsessed I am with California.
Because California is the fifth largest economy in the world. It's amazing.
California is the best. Like, my family always tries to, like, just kind of whisper.
You can feel like a hater sometimes.
They just try to, you know, like, oh, well, you guys could have a bigger house in Texas. Like, I'm not coming back to Texas. I'm not. Yeah. Like, never mind that, like, they probably kill me if I, like, try to be pregnant again. But, like, beyond that, Texas is Texas. And even the,
But you were in Austin, right?
I was in Austin. Yes, Austin. Austin was the kickoff for my own comedic career. That's where, like, I actually had a big fan base. I was on Sixth Street every week, like, doing a show. That stuff just does not exist in the same way. The artistic and musician communities in Austin is fucking struggling. Like, they just cannot afford to be there and do the same things that they wanted to do. Because unlike San Francisco and unlike, you know, fucking New York, you can be, you know, broke and still get around.
I don't think you can in New York anymore. I think New York has changed a lot.
Really?
I mean, it depends now. Like, people are going further and further out in Brooklyn, and, like, there is kind of that scene, but, like, the rent is so high. The cost of living is so high. Like, Manhattan has turned into a Chase, a Starbucks, and a Dwayne Reed. Like, you walk, that's what it is.
San Francisco's kind of doing the same thing right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think I don't know. I have a lot of ranting about that.
No, yeah. But so what has happened to Austin is, funny thing, when I was moving here from Austin, I remember being on the plane and my cat's, like, underneath my seat or whatever, and I pull out, like, the magazine thing in front of me because I'm fucking wasted and sad, and I'm, like, reading the thing, and the first thing, the fucking front cover says, hey, look where this migration is happening. And I'm like, oh, interesting. And in it, they're saying everyone is leaving California to go to Texas. And I'm doing the exact opposite thing.
Good.
And what has happened is that the, like, the right-wing people of California moving to Texas.
Yeah.
They're moving to Austin.
You know what else?
Very specific crowd.
The super, super far left is also moving. The people that are, like, so woo that they're, my friend's sister in particular, but the people who are, like, so left that they're, like, anti-vax and stuff like that, they are also moving there. So there's that funny horseshoe effect that they call it, where it's like far left and far right. It's so crazy to me.
Yeah. And so Austin has just changed dramatically, and all the people that, like, even if I just went back there on a whim, like, getting a show there would be difficult. Because
I just want to be here when California secedes from the Union.
It's going to be a time.
Yes.
It's going to be a time.
Yeah.
I got into a deep conversation with my housemate about this the other day in terms of the alliances that we would need to make for military purposes, in terms of, like, where we need to set up our bases. Like, who do we actually need to make alliances with within this country to really hold down the coast? Because we have to hold down the coast.
Washington. Absolutely. Washington, Oregon. Yep.
We have a good chance with those places.
Yeah.
Oregon's a little weird.
Yeah, but I also think we can take Nevada. They love their prostitution way too much.
Oh, yeah.
And their weed, for sure.
Yeah.
The problem is that none of the left wants to use a gun. I will not be fighting.
Not me! So it's funny you say that. On some real shit, what I have considered doing, because I don't know if you know this, my brother was ex-military. He was in the Navy for forever. He graduated from the Naval Academy in 05, and then he went on to do Navy stuff for fucking ever, and still kind of does Navy stuff now. He's in, like, the reserves, also working in his own job. And, like, fucking great guy, just as far left as I am. And, like, I tell him, I'm like, dude, like, since the orange asshole is back, like, I think that my previous pleas of left people picking up guns aren't going to fall on deaf ears anymore.
Yeah, people are so slowly becoming
I'm like, I'm like, you need to come down here, and we need to actually bring our friends to gun range and be like, fucking learn how to use one. Because they're never going to give theirs up. You might as well fucking arm yourselves. Every woman, person of color, and queer individual should be armed.
Yeah, what I've been pitching to people is like, look, I'm not saying you have to own a gun, but if one's available and that's what you need to protect yourself, don't you want to know how to pick it up and not shoot yourself? And they're like, that's a good idea. Yeah.
I mean, if you're in any situation at all, like,
I will climb a tree and hide.
Y'all, Allison, what if you break your foot?
Yes.
I will use my arm.
You do it.
Uh-huh. If there is a war, I am fucked. I will roll over and die.
No.
I will jump on.
Your people have fought too hard. People have fought too hard.
I don't know that we have and we haven't. It depends which historical era you're looking at. You know?